The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Can't believe she accuses me of magniloquence. You believe that? Oh, my gosh. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you so much. You're tuned in to The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, in the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean. Well, you're before the international dateline. So whatever I said today, I already said. I want to get a copy of those shows so I could edit them and take out some of the dumb stuff. I think I'd probably leave about 12 minutes of program. I got an email the other day that said, the lady said, self-deprecation is not humility. Stop it. No. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get on the program. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm a psychologist. That is what I do for a living. That's my profession. On the program here, we don't do the stuff of professional psychology, which is diagnosis, which is therapy, which is assessment. And we certainly, and you don't even do this in professional therapy. You certainly don't contradict a therapist, especially an ongoing one, for certain. But we can educate here. Give a few ideas, a few thoughts. A lot of our calls are generic. They're not necessarily particular. A lot of our calls are the toughest calls, which is tell me how to change someone else. It's hard enough to change ourselves, but yet saying I got to change somebody else, I got to change the way they think, I got to change the way they act, I got to change the way they look at life, that's really tough. You're a psychologist, you should know how to do that. Because I am a psychologist, it's one of the things I've learned, and it is the toughest thing to do. But can't you reason with people, Dr. Ray? Aren't there ways to get through to them? Well, there are better and worse ways, but there aren't ways that guarantee you can get through to them. And the quicker you understand that reality, the more peace you will have in your life. I had something not so long ago at Mass that kind of slapped me in the head at a number of levels. It truly did. I'd like to share with you not what I learned about myself and about human interaction, because I knew it. But you know how every so often you have to be reminded? I got reminded. Young boy in front of me in Mass looked to be about 14, 15 years of age. One of the sadder things I notice as I travel the country and go to Mass in a lot of different cities is that the population at Mass that is the least represented are teenagers and 20-something adults. Very, very much so. I looked at this young man in front of me, and from every appearance, everything that I could pick up, he was totally uninvolved in what was going on. The conclusion one could draw was, well, he's forced to come here by his parents. His mom and dad were to his side of him. I watched him. In the beginning of Mass, when you make the sign of the cross, I mean, that's like minimal, you know, the sign of the cross. Well, he didn't do that, and he didn't respond to anything. And, of course, no singing. His dad didn't sing either. Guys don't sing as a matter of rule, which is kind of sad. But, yep, they'll go to a football game and take their shirt off and have their face painted and go crazy. Singing? Well, that's embarrassing. So, this young man, now, I'm not going to focus on this young man. That's the first thing I had to learn. Just get your mind off this young man right in front of you, 2 feet away, and pay attention to the Mass. All right. So I started thinking, what would happen in the old days? Let's say you go back 60 years. Would somebody have said to this young man something like, you know you're in the house of God? Or, does this mean anything to you being here? Or maybe even a little more forthright, show some respect. I think that was more common in our culture two generations ago, or more so all the way back. Nowadays, were I tempted to say something like that, I'm pretty sure of the reaction I would have gotten. And it's a common reaction. It's a reaction to any kind of feedback somebody doesn't want to hear, which is oftentimes most feedback. Who are you to tell me? It's a very common attitude. Who are you to tell me? More or less, it's who are you to correct me? Who are you to comment on me? It reflects that we don't want to hear someone. Might know more than us, someone in authority, someone that might help us. No. It's a form of defensiveness. It's a form. Now, as Mass went on, I've noticed that, okay, Granny, what are you paying attention to him for, Ray? Well, come on, he's right in front of me, okay? As I'm looking at the priest, I'm looking at the altar, he's right there. I mean, he's directly in front of me. He blocked my view to the pulpit. Made me even more irritated. No, I'm not going to get irritated at Mass as best I can. I don't have kids there anymore. So, at the end of Mass, I saw his mother take his hand. He didn't pull away. He took hers back. And they held hands. How often do you see a 14, 15-year-old boy hold hands with his mother? What was that all about? Obviously, there was some kind of warmth there because he was smiling. He wasn't like, what are you doing? We're in public. Don't even look at me. So that's the first thing I learned. Maybe he's not part of it as it appears, but yet at the same time, there is some kind of warmth here. I noticed something else. He went to communion. Dr. Ray, that doesn't mean anything. Everybody goes to communion now. That's true. But his parents didn't. Now, very few people don't go to communion. I don't know, again, what that was all about. And it's none of my business to know. But at the same time, you see what it's done? It's confusing the picture. On one hand, in my mind, I thought I had pretty accurately assessed this whole dynamic. His parents forced him to come here. He's not happy to be here. He's not happy to be around his parents. They're making him do this. And then they go and blow my whole perception by taking him by the hand. Mother did anyway. Taking him by the hand, holding his hand, and playfully, he and his mother jostled and looked like they truly enjoyed each other. Would you call that jumping to conclusions? Would you call that getting information that later put on its head everything that you thought? Now, I don't know. Perhaps he still didn't want to be there whatsoever, but it was nice that his mother held his hand and he liked that. I don't know. But the picture was not consistent with what I had thought. And there's a danger in being a psychologist because you tend to think, well, I've been around this stuff for all these years, so I pretty much know how to read people, or I think I do. And then you get reminded. Be careful. Be very, very careful. You don't know. You don't know everything that you see. How many times have I jumped to the wrong conclusion about someone's motives and I missed it? But I didn't know that I missed it because I wasn't around long enough. I wasn't in the situation long enough to get information to the contrary and to recognize, oops, maybe I'm not totally accurate on this one. No. I just walked away thinking I sized that one up pretty good. Yeah. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thank you for joining me.
Everybody has had one, and one is enough for anybody.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon.
The doctor will see you now.
On The Doctor Is In.
For a complete list of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network AM and FM stations across America, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. The list is updated regularly, so visit often. Again, go to EWTN.com. Look for the radio pull-down menu and select AM/FM stations. Also at EWTN.com, you'll find out how to listen to us on the web, on shortwave, and in some countries on satellite. You'll find it all on EWTN.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
A little bit of smoking organ, I like that. Remember, I like that. Have you ever lost a sock in the dryer? Well, I've noticed if you lose a sock in the dryer, it comes back as a Tupperware lid that doesn't fit any of your containers. You notice that? I've noticed that. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi here on The Doctors, and I want to briefly, before I go to Cindy, I want to thank the Immaculate Heart of Mary National Homeschool Conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia, for allowing me to be a part of it. A wonderful time, and I appreciate every year that I get to go there. Cindy from Bismarck, North Dakota, apparently is taking a chapter from my Fighting Mad Anger book, or what could be worse, she never read it in the first place, at which point I probably shouldn't have taken her call. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Did you read
Thanks
the Fighting Mad?
My call.
Did you read the Fighting Mad Anger book?
I did a long time ago.
This is right out of the chapter. You know that.
Oh,
do you remember by any chance the title of the chapter?
No, I don't.
You're lucky you remember the title of the book, right? It was called Righteous or Right-Filled Anger.
Okay.
So your question here, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
No, see, you say the question, I say the answer.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
How many times I got to train you on this?
Can anger be an effective way to achieve a desired result? If so, can it become a style?
It can be an effective way. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't motivated to take right action until they feel the emotional surge. Give you a small example in parenthood. How often does a parent say, "I have to get mad," and then he listens, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, okay, I'm not going to tell the parent don't get mad, because maybe what the kid is doing, you should be mad about. However, it would be better if the parent would be able to act out of principle. He needs to be taught this, and I don't have to get mad to motivate myself to finally take action. So in that sense, anger can be helpful. It motivates. An example I used in the book. If I go into the weight room, and typically a weightlifter will tell you that your first set is your strongest set. You do the most amount of reps with the weight first time around. Second time around, especially as you get older, you drop reps. You might start out with 9, and then your second set you do 6 or 5. But every so often, for whatever the reason, I'll go in, and I won't have a good first set. I get angry. Oh, I don't kick weights or anything like that, but there is kind of an inner sort of surge of determination, and I'll come back with a better second set than the first. Now, at which point, my weightlifting buddies will accuse me of sandbagging, which means I took it easy on the first set and had enough energy for the second set. Well, that's not what happened. What happened was I got mad. So in that sense, I channeled the anger towards working harder. The problem, as you put your finger on it, Cindy, is that anger can become a style. It is your only way to make yourself act. That's not good. That's not good at all, because you're not acting out of rightness or wrongness. You're acting out of what I feel is my emotion, and I'm fed up. Okay? The other problem with anger is this, and that's why the title of the chapter was Righteous or Right-Filled. Our Lord's cleansing the temple was righteous anger. His Father's house was being desecrated. On the other hand, most people's anger is right-filled anger. I can't believe you did this to me. I can't believe you're acting this way around me. I can't believe you said that about me. It's right-filled. You stomped on my right to be respected, to be admired, to be treated charitably, to be given accolades. Whatever it is that I demand of the situation or the person, if you don't do it, I can react angrily because I have my rights, you know. And one of the points I made in the chapter, more so in the Jesus book, is Christians don't have a whole lot of rights. We really don't. Our rights come from God, not from our expectations of how other people are supposed to act toward us. So just some summaries there of the whole anger thing. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Just cherry pick any of my chapters anytime. But next time, would you just say a couple of things like, Dr. Ray, this comes from your book, Fighting Mad, the chapter on righteous versus right-filled anger. And by the way, I want to tell you, Dr. Ray, it is the finest book on anger I have ever read. And I'm really now Saint Mother Teresa because of my reading this book. Just that chapter, actually. So, something like that. Something very subtle.
Okay.
I shouldn't have to write your script, Cindy. All righty, dear. Thank you for the call. See ya.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, Bill, this is a good one. Oh, Bill, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I very much appreciate
everything that all you do. I appreciate it as much as possible.
Hey, Bill, they pay me.
Hello?
They pay me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. I guess I'm sorry for my bad phone.
You got it? Yeah, because we got our levels here pretty good.
Can you talk up any?
I got my mouth right on the mic, and I'm talking really loud. I bet they can hear me outside. Can you hear it now?
I can barely hear you.
Do you have a bad phone?
I can barely hear you.
Do you want to call back? We have some lines open. You want to call back? Because I really want to address this call.
Okay, I'll call back.
Call right back. All righty. We'll go to Bill here. I'll give him a few seconds to call back. Here was his question. I can phrase it. He's having a hard time believing in God. My monologue prompted him to call. Now, that I don't understand. I don't know what connection Bill made between what I said about reading a situation and then finding out that your read of the situation needed more information, because then, in fact, you would change your read of the situation. He says that his fear of hell is the only thing that keeps him from being an all-out atheist. No God. But on the other hand, he's got a personal interest here. An understandable personal interest. Okay, this is not a, well, it is selfish, but not necessarily selfish in a shallow sense. It's self-interest, and self-interest isn't always bad. But he says his fear of hell is the only thing that keeps him from being an atheist. Wants to know what I think about that. I don't know. Let's see if we're getting Bill back in another call. Looks like we could be. I'll hold on a second till it comes in and we get this set up. Let me address it anyway. Got about 3 minutes before the break. The fear of hell is recognized by the church. Okay, it's recognized by the church as a reason for belief. It's not the best one, and it isn't driven by love of God necessarily, and more respect of God and what he could do, or what he could allow you to do is a better way to put it. But that wouldn't be viewed as, oh, too bad, doesn't count. Okay, if you're gonna be a believer, mostly because you're afraid of hell, nope, you're falling short, and forget you, pal, no eternity for you. Not necessarily. Okay? Church would probably call that something along the lines of imperfect belief. All right. I got that. Here's, I think, where Bill has to chase this. If that's all it is, in other words, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll say there's a God, perhaps. But that's all the further it goes, then indeed, that's practical atheism. Many people are practical atheists. If you ask them, do you believe in God? They'd say, yes, I do. Why? Oh, because all this stuff had to have a creator. And probably Jesus was God, too. It seems like that'd be the best explanation. Okay, now what does that mean for your life? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, in essence, are you living according to your own norms, your own morals, the cultural morals, civil norms, as opposed to trying to understand what God would want of you for your own well-being? Oh, I don't know if I have to do that. Well, then, practically speaking, you are ignoring God. Even if you say, well, I think he's there. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. I got no problem with that. And I really think you shouldn't kill anybody. Well, maybe a baby in the womb, but other than that, you shouldn't kill a person walking around. Probably shouldn't steal. You know, unless, I mean, certain circumstances, I guess, but for the most part, you don't steal. And violence is a bad thing. Unless you're provoked to it. You see what happens? You define your own moral system. So God exists in your mind, but he really has no influence over what you decide to do in the end. Okay? So I don't know if Bill had another phone to call back on, or oh, I don't see him. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Bill, you there, buddy? I totally misunderstood. You there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I turned up my phone volume. I put my earplugs in. So I'll try this.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
Okay. And did you hear much of what I said while you were waiting on hold? I misunderstood Andrew. He told me you were on the line, and I was waiting for you to go on another line. Did you hear somewhat of what I said while you were waiting?
Oh, a little bit of it.
Okay, I'll recap it after the break, give you a recap, and then I want to find out what you think about this. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That's the number to call to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I thank you for joining me.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make your up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the wisdom of God, and so we try to develop the mind of Christ, whether we're looking at the bioethics of gene editing, immigration in the United States, abortion at the Supreme Court, or movies in Hollywood. So join me as we look at the news of the world through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, this afternoon, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
My patients tested. Came back negative. Dr. Ray Grindy, thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Talking to Bill from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to summarize. Bill, we had a problem with the phone. I invited him to call back. He did. Thank you, Bill. He didn't quite hear everything I summarized, so I'd like to say this. Bill said he is afraid of being an atheist. Because he's afraid of hell. And I said, well, the church would say that that's okay to believe for that reason. That's a good start. On the other hand, if you say you believe, but you really don't do anything about it, in all sense of the word, you're kind of a practical atheist. Yeah, God exists. I don't want to go to hell. But nevertheless, I pretty much decide my own morals, and I don't really try to figure out in any way how he would want me to live or to be close to him. Then for all intents and purposes, you're still a practical atheist. Now, Bill, your question is, I guess, is a fear of hell okay to push you at least initially toward belief? Is that what you're asking?
I'm saying that the only way to help change anybody's behavior is a fear of hell.
That used to be, well, how should I put this? You're not alone in thinking that. That used to be a common objection against the church and the church's teaching, which is, the only reason people believe is because they don't want to fry. They're self-interested, that's all. This has nothing to do with love of God. This has nothing to do with living a better way. It's simply human self-interest. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, I'm trying to hope that the Holy Spirit has guided me, I'm about to say. But I try to say a Lord's Prayer every morning when I get up. And I say it is possible. And I am trying my hardest to fully believe that you are our Father. And because I'm afraid of hell, I try my hardest to obey the golden rule, like Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12. He says, the golden rule sums up the law and the prophets. And so that's how I try to live my life.
That's the only thing that works for me. Because I'm agnostic. I'm not atheist. I'm agnostic.
No, you're not. Bill, you're not agnostic. Heck, you just quoted scripture, and you said you try to live that way. What you're saying is, I don't like that I don't feel or I don't have a sense of God. So what I do is, out of my fear of hell, I try to learn about him. I say a prayer. I look at the Bible. I try to live right, hopefully as the church would teach it, as God teaches it. That's spectacular. I went through a period in my life, Bill, where I once said to a priest, you know, I sure wish I had stronger faith. I sure wish that I wasn't riddled with all kinds of questions and doubts and what if this ain't true and all of that. And he said, are you living as you can, by God's grace, try to live, to believe in him and to live for him? I said, yes. Then he said, that is faith. Don't confuse a lack of faith with a lack of emotion. You know, you look at some of these people and they say, I just so feel God in my life. He's just so there for me. I know he's real because I've experienced him. And you think to yourself, I haven't had any of that. Right?
Right.
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
When I try to say the Lord's Prayer, it just feels like I'm sitting laying there talking to myself.
That's all right.
But
that's okay.
But I tell myself it is possible that you are our Father, and I am trying my hardest to believe that you are our Father.
You know something, Bill? Your faith might be stronger than someone who is so emotionally convinced that God exists and that they must live for him, that there's just no doubt whatsoever that he is there. Your faith is stronger. You know why that might be? Because you're going against so much of you that says, man, I don't know. I really think you're on the right path. And that path is, dear Lord, and by the way, I was there for a while, buddy, okay, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Dear Lord, I don't have inside me what I wish I did. However, please help me, because I want to continue to seek, find you. I want to live for you. I want to understand what you want of me as your disciple. I'll pray the Our Father, and maybe it sounds like I'm just talking to myself. That's okay. I'll still pray it. I'll go to Mass, and I'll think to myself, you know, am I just giving up an hour of my Sunday when I could be sleeping in? That's okay. Go to Mass. Tell God, and this is the one prayer I think he will always grant. Tell him you wish to believe, you have a hard time believing, but please help you believe. And I know he will. I know it. Are you familiar with the verse in Scripture where the guy brings his kid up to our Lord and he says the demon gives him fits. Demon throws him in the fire. And Jesus, what Jesus asked him?
I know that Jesus expelled demons.
Well, Jesus said to that father, he said, do you believe? And do you remember at all what the father said?
No.
And this is you and me, Bill. I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's a great verse.
Father, I say, I am trying my hardest to fully believe that you are our Father.
And keep going, man. If the fear of hell is what's pushing you right now, that's okay. As long as it pushes you further along. As long as you say, okay, I got enough. I got $3 worth of God. That's enough. I don't need any more. don't need to read. I don't need to understand scripture. I don't need to pray. I don't need to live a good moral life. I don't need to do any of that. I don't need to listen to his church. All I know is he's there, and that's good enough. No, that won't be good enough. Okay, so your fear of hell moves you to learn and believe and love more this God. You're on the right track, man. And I'll tell you what, I know that there are people, because they email me, and they are touched by particular callers. They will say, I will pray for that caller. Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much.
Isn't it amazing how many life decisions we make based on our feelings alone, like getting married? We are a culture that worships at the altar of feelings. We prefer feeling to thinking and deliberating. Feelings are emotional registers of pain and pleasure, full stop. This doesn't mean they're not important. They are. God gave them to us. But if they're the train engine instead of the caboose, we're going to go off the rails fast. Feelings alone can't carry any life decision to the finish line. And love is the most powerful life decision of all. Jesus Christ would never have gone to the cross if he lived his life only by his feelings. Sometimes, loving means acting in the face of overwhelming feelings to the contrary. And that's where true love exists. Love is measured by the degree to which you are willing to be put out for the other person. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Whom do we most need in order to say Jesus is Lord? The Holy Spirit. The Catechism says that every time we invoke Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who draws us onto the path of prayer. And since it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us to pray by recalling Jesus, how can we not pray to the Holy Spirit too? The Church urges us to call on the Holy Spirit continually, especially at the beginning and the close of every important action. And how should we pray to him? The traditional form is to invoke the Father through Christ our Lord to give us the Consoler, the Spirit. The simplest, most direct invocation is, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, enkindle in them the fire of your love. The Holy Spirit is the artisan of the living tradition of prayer and the master of interior prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I want to comment a little bit more about Bill's situation, but before I do, infrequently, I will get an email that says somebody said, I'm emailing you because I can't get through when I call. That's generally not true. We have a lot of lines, and for the most part, you can get through. But right now, there are definitely lines open. So you want to get through, you want to get up right away quick, you can do it. I know some people don't call. There's a whole bunch of reasons why people don't call. The number one reason is, they say, is people will recognize their voice, because the circle that they travel in also listens to Catholic media, and they would hear them. And what would be worse is if the person's listening would be the persons that the caller's talking about, and not in a positive way. Every so often, some people will say, I'd like to call, but I don't have time. Okay. That's in the email where they say, answer my email. And then you get the old, I tried, but I couldn't get through. Well, you can get through right now, for sure. Because Eric and Andrew are waiting there. I got to comment a little bit more, and I hope Bill's still listening. Bill, sometimes trying to reason one's way through the existence of God is a little fuzzy. It's hard to do. It's particular philosophical arguments that could be kind of sophisticated. Some of them may be hard to follow. And even if you can come to a conclusion about the existence of God. It's the next question is, what kind of God? What's he want? Did he just design the universe and go play basketball in a parallel universe? Forgot all about us? What kind of God is this? For me, Bill, if you're still there, the strongest, by far, strongest, most easy to follow. If you want to call it proof, I will call it that. It's definitely a logical proof. Not strict logic, but preponderance of the evidence. Existence of God is the identity of Jesus Christ. If he is God, then there is a God. And furthermore, we can know a fair amount about this God. Because he was a historical figure, he became human. And he left us a lot of information in a Bible, in a church. So, for me, the turning point proof, if you will, of the existence of God was the existence of Jesus Christ and trying to figure out who he was. One thing I do know for certain, absolutely certain, is that Christianity exists. It is here in the present. It has existed in history, and its historical roots can be traced back, and I don't need the Bible to do this. It can be traced back to a person called Jesus of Nazareth. That's a given. The question then becomes, is this Christian belief, who claims that this man was God and he rose from the dead, is that true? Or can there be other explanations for it? Now, my experience has been that most people do not look into other explanations. They don't look into the evidence that would indicate very strongly that this guy was, in fact, who he said he was, that he was God. The number one interpretation now among non-believers is that Jesus was a good man. He was a philosopher of life. He was a moralizer. And, of course, he got killed because he went against the ruling people of his day. That's why. He threatened to upend the power structure. That's all it was, you know. Anybody who says that to me, says Jesus was a good man, has absolutely, they've told me uncategorically that they haven't looked into this at all. None. Zero. Because if they did, one, I would ask them, so how do you know he was a good man? How do you know Jesus was a good man?
Well, because what he said and what he taught.
Okay, so you're basing that on what?
Well, on what he said in those things called the Gospels.
Okay. There are plenty of words in those Gospels from Jesus that said he was God, and that he acted like God. Only God's going to come back at the end of time. Only God is going to say, I forgive your sins. Only God is going to say, you got to worship me. He talked like God all over the place. Are you saying those words don't count? Where do those words come up? You're going to believe part of the Gospels because it's convenient to believe that. He gave you some kind of moral truth. But on the other hand, you're not going to believe the part where he said he's God. So the Gospels are legitimate and reasonable where they talk morals, lifestyle, but they're not legitimate and reasonable where he says he's God. Now, how did you come to that conclusion? Well, because nobody's God. Ah, well, wait a minute now. What you're doing, you're begging the question. You're already approaching the evidence by saying he can't be God. Therefore, he didn't say he was God. You got to do something with those reports Don't, I'm not even going to say they're the word of God. I'm just simply saying they're stories, they're reports of who he was. What are you going to do with that? We also know a whole bunch of other things about this. Right now, I don't have time to get into that because I'm way past break. Too bad, because I'm going to go back to your calls, okay? Get to Eric coming up. 877-573-7825. I am Dr. Ray. Program The Doctor Is In.
Wherever there is injustice, you will find us. Wherever there is suffering, we'll be there.
Well, hello, guy.
Call now for great advice from Dr. Ray.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
And we're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Doesn't that sound like one of those cop show music? We're trying to figure out what my name would be if I was going to do a cop show. Because you have to have really a manly name. Magnum P.I. The Rockford Files, you know? Columbo. What would my name be? Rayman. Ron Rayman. Let's go to Eric from Ludington, Michigan. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Love your show. How you doing?
I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Why are you letting these boys get away with this?
Well, because I'm super close to getting on the heart transplant list, and I have to take the nitro. The heart starts kicking, and they get me whipped up to where, you know, it's just minutes away for having another coronary.
You know you don't have to have a coronary to be authoritative. You know that, don't you, Eric?
I do know that.
You don't have to yell and scream. You don't have to beat your chest. You don't have to turn gorilla-like.
And I don't. I try to reason with them, and that has
no,
not
worked. No, well, there's your mistake. There's your mistake.
Yeah, I know. I've learned that.
Does their mother want to be treated this way?
She sure does not.
So she would very much like you two to be on the same page.
Absolutely.
Why don't you sit down with her and say, we have allowed these boys to mistreat you. We've allowed them to be incredibly disrespectful and demanding for a long time. They're now 15, and it's very, very ugly. We don't have much time left, and it may be too late, but we have to act like it's not.
Right.
So let's sit down and totally reassess their freedoms, their possessions, their cell phones, their computer, their game playing, what we will do because of their disrespect and their uncooperativeness. Why can you not do that?
Well, they don't have a lot of possessions because of my medical bills. You know, we live very frugally and they don't have much. So when there's not much to take away, and one is very stubborn, you can take away anything and he's fine with that. He just keeps right on rolling, doesn't care if he gets it back or not.
Eric, you want to know how many times I've heard that from a parent? Oh, no, they don't care. You can take away everything. They'll just live with it that way. It'll make no difference. I've heard that 1,000 times. And it's
that's what I did.
It's wrong. How do I know it's wrong? Because I work with parents, and then I start to ask them all about this supposed he doesn't care, and pretty soon I find out there were all kinds of ways they could have made him care, but they just underestimated it. So, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. They don't have anything. They have cell phones?
They do.
they
pay for them themselves.
So what? If he pays for marijuana, you going to let him buy marijuana? It's going to be legal, you know.
No, I am not.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm not.
Did you hear what you just said? Eric, you just said they don't have anything. They got the internet in the palm of their hands.
Yes, and they need it for school. That's what they're a thesis.
What a bunch of bunk.
I know, now I'm sounding stupid to myself.
Well, yeah, you know, I sounded dumb to me too, but that's okay. You still could be a good dad.
The one will just really, I mean, he comes unglued. And I, you know, I'm very calm. We both are. My wife and I will be right there and say, listen, we are the parents. This is our home. These are our rules. You signed this contract.
And you've said that 6 million times.
Yes.
And they said, oh, Father. Yes. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for reasoning with me. I'm so very, very glad that you're reasonable and calm, because that makes me want to obey you, because I've been disobeying you for the last 10 years. But that's okay. Eric.
Well, see, they obey me. It's just my wife they won't. But then when I get in there, you know, it's already set.
The first thing you do is you got to read. You just told me they don't have any possessions, and you told me they have the internet in their hands. Do they have? Obviously, they have video games.
Obviously.
Now you see what happened. This is exactly
away. We take them away, and
they shouldn't have them.
They truly don't.
They shouldn't have them, Eric. And you know why they shouldn't have them? Because they're not treating you or your wife with cooperation and respect. How in heaven's name are they going to get that stuff? You don't just take it away. You say you haven't earned it. And when you say the one melts down, he's a 15-year-old kid. When you got a 15-year-old kid melting down, this tells me this has been going on for years. This is not new.
It hasn't with him. He has been melting down since he was little.
Yes, exactly.
And
that tells, you know what that tells me? That tells me that you and your wife, as loving and good a parent as you are, have not really gotten a handle on this.
You're correct. I would agree with you.
So you see a mini microcosmic illustration of what happens in therapy when a parent says, nope, 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 they don't have anything. Nope, we could take anything from them. They wouldn't care. If you took that cell phone, what would happen, Eric?
Well, one wouldn't care, and the other would come unglued and just not. He would
That's
start
right.
breaking things. And
that's right. So he does in fact care. So the idea that he doesn't care, you're right. What you have here, from what Lydia you're telling me, and I don't live in your home, so I can't know for sure, but you have out-of-control kids. And
we do, in the home. Outside the home, people have absolutely no problem. They're great kids. They get compliments left and right. It's just inside our home. You are right.
Does the Lord say, honor thy people outside of your home?
No, honor thy father and mother.
Oh, so it's really important for them to treat you and your wife with respect.
They don't think it is, and then it's up to us to teach them that.
Well, I think what's happening here, and this is the good news for you, Eric, it really is. What's happening here is you've radically underestimated what you need to hold these boys accountable and to set up rules. Lots of reasoning, lots of talk. But still, way, way, way. Your wife washes their clothes, right?
Yes, they're starting to wash their own, but
with your stuff,
we stopped
with
washing.
Your stuff.
We did.
Who takes them anyplace?
Me.
Yeah.
My wife.
Yeah, they haven't earned any of this.
I agree with you. They don't go many places.
Well, I don't doubt that. I would suspect that too, but never mind. We don't have time. We don't have time to chase it. I got a book, Good Discipline, Great Teens. It's on my website. Deals a lot with behavior problems with teens. Maybe that'll help you. Certainly a lot more than anything I could give you right now. But hopefully it made you kind of take a different look, different angle at this thing, Eric. Thank you for the call, my friend. Dr. Ray, I got to run. Thanks, Andrew Kruczek. Thanks, Eric Dumont. And thanks to you for the company. I appreciate it. Walk with God. Hold your children tightly by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.